Hello, and welcome to Life Matters, the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. We're honored to host a variety of guests within the pro-life movement, each bringing their own unique perspectives, experiences, and backgrounds. The views and opinions expressed by our guests do not necessarily reflect those of Life Matters, Assure Women's Center, or our affiliates. Our goal is to foster open, thoughtful dialogue around life-affirming issues and equip listeners to stand for life. This is part two of our interview with Audrey Selander.
Welcome to Life Matters. I'm your host, Tony Clark, Executive Director of Assure Women's Center. Today's episode is especially meaningful as I'm joined by Audrey Selander, one of my favorite Gen Zs. She's also the Patient Process Manager at Assure Women's Center. Audrey plays a key role in guiding women through our patient process. Audrey, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you.
So Audrey, you also work closely with our volunteer advocates. Can you tell our listeners more about the advocate role?
Yes. I love our advocates. We've got some delightful people here.
Yeah, you do.
The advocates have such a huge role in what we do because they walk the patients through the process of their hour-long appointment, and they get to talk with them about their situation. They use the script so we can equip for this, but they get to talk with her through her options and give her information on them. And then they do have the, what I would consider the absolute privilege of sharing Christ with her. Mm-hmm. And so they're that face to truth for her, representing the Lord.
Good. So what qualities make someone an effective advocate for the women we serve?
Well, obviously someone who loves people.
Yeah.
And loves our girls. And I would also say teachable, because we do follow a process. And so being willing to say, you know, here's what works, and willing to try it. And then I would also say that because it's hard, people who are willing to stay faithful and do the hard, mm-hmm. you know, and they're never alone. They always have support, but it's a heavy thing to do. And so women who are strong in their commitment to the Lord and to this calling, it really is a calling.
Yeah, absolutely. What's the time requirement for someone that would want to volunteer as an advocate?
Well, as long as the Lord will let you be here. We do, because the training process does take time, we do ask for a year commitment, but there have definitely been circumstances where, of course, they're outside of their control and the Lord changes things in their lives, and that's okay.
Yeah. What about weekly or monthly?
Well, we ask for 3 shifts a month minimum, which the shifts range from 2.5 hours to 4 hours. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And the purpose of that is because things change. And if you only work one shift a month, the next month things perhaps might change. So that keeps us in a good cycle where you're learning. And sometimes a volunteer might volunteer on Monday, and then they see a patient, and perhaps the next time that patient comes in, mm-hmm. it might be on the same day. So that also builds a little bit of continuity, yeah. You know, at least a friendly face or the same face with some of our patients as well. Mm-hmm. So good. Can you share a story of a volunteer advocate who made a powerful impact on a patient?
Well, I do think this, because of our process, it's a little unique. Every volunteer has the same, I don't want to say same relationship with a patient, but I mean kind of, because they're asking the same things and giving the same information. The experience is the same. So it's hard to gauge individual impact, but there's definitely connections that happen that you witness, you know. So when patients come back for a repeat appointment and they see their advocate and they get all excited. I know of one, we have a very dear advocate named Alice. She's been here for a while. And I remember, yes, isn't she great? I remember her patient coming back for a repeat and seeing her at the front and grabbing her face and going, I missed you. Oh. From a 1 hour appointment together. So they get matched.
Yeah, Alice is just a sweet grandmother figure. And yeah, she's just real sweet. That warms my heart.
I know.
So how does someone go about becoming an advocate at Assure?
Well, I mean, you can always reach out to our project and volunteer specialist, Jody. She's the best go-to for any information regarding any volunteer role here at Assure. And then she could set up a tour, you know, to see more and take the time to determine if this is right. But once they decide to be an advocate, we have self-paced training. So there's things they can read and watch, and then they shadow as many appointments as they want to in order to feel like they've got a good grasp on it. And then they get a lot of time with me.
That's good. That's good. And all our information can actually be found at our website, firststeptolife.com. You can go to that website and find out more about Assure, but also about how to plug in as an advocate. That's firststeptolife.com. Good. Audrey, what role does prayer or faith play in your work day to day?
It's very essential. Yeah. There's no way to do this without that. I think we pretty much run on prayer and faith and the goodness of God. Mm-hmm. That's what keeps us going for sure. So without it, we would burn out. There'd be no way to do this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. How do you and your team stay grounded with especially hard situations?
Well, just that we're a team. We uniquely understand what each other is experiencing when they deal with those hard situations. So we talk through them and we discuss what did we do and is there something we could do better the next time? But we pray for each other. We pray with each other. We just really try to be a community for each other.
Yeah. I was talking to a group of ladies earlier from Assure, and they kind of said the same thing. It's not just a work environment. It really is a team or family environment. So we are the Assure family because we know what, we know what each of us are experiencing. And so if you have a tough patient, then someone else can console you because they had one yesterday. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important that we look at ourselves as a family and know how to encourage each other because we are going through the same things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What keeps you going personally when the work is tough?
Well, I think you have to stay in your fellowship with the Lord. Yeah. So individual time in the Word of God, spending time in prayer is obviously essential. I'm also definitely, you know this about me, I'm a verbal processor. So having safe people to talk to, it helps that, some of the people I trust the most are people who've been here for a very long time and they're willing to listen, and it's safe to talk to them about our patient situations because they're here too. So that's definitely a part of it for me.
Yeah. And I would agree with you on that. And I would say for me as well, on those tough days, I just have to remind myself that I'm not here for Tony. Mm-hmm. I'm here because God called me and I said yes. Mm-hmm. And I may not understand it, but He is ultimately in control and He knows the end from the beginning. I don't. Mm-hmm. And this may be a tough season that I'm walking through. There may be some decisions that need to be made that really hurt. But I have to trust that the Lord knows, He understands. And I've been able to look back and go, okay, I see where that made a difference, And so just really being able to trust the Lord that He's called us in this position and it's way beyond my pay grade. And yes, I'm executive director, but it's way beyond my pay grade what's going on because it's His ministry ultimately, not mine.
Right.
So how can our listeners better understand the heart and reality of the women you serve?
There's a couple of things that come to mind. One is I think we should be praying for eyes to see. I think it's really easy in our culture, which is so fast-paced and digital, and we fill all of our time. Mm-hmm. We just go from one thing to the next, and we don't actually pay attention to the people around us. No. And if we were more intentional to actually see people for who they are and hear their heart, we'd see a lot more than we expect to. Yeah. And I also think when we understand our own sin and our own heart's tendencies, we're a lot more gracious with other people's. Mm-hmm. And so if we keep in mind that without the Lord, where would we be? Probably in the exact same situation as these women.
Yeah.
Then it's hard to judge them for that. For
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. I can think of a very practical way that people can understand the heart and reality of the women we serve. For women, they could come volunteer.
That's true. I see what you did there.
That's a very practical way for them to understand, because there's no way you can come here and hear the stories.
Yeah.
And even if you just heard one or two. And so we send out a prayer request every week. And even that little snippet of what she's going through sometimes does not really fully explain the real life circumstances that she's dealing with.
Put in there.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it'd be paragraphs. The other thing, sometimes we do publish some of those stories on our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. So we're starting to do that because we want people to really know the women that we serve. As we said earlier, a typical patient is not a typical patient. And so to learn the heart and, reality of the women you serve, if you have the opportunity to come and volunteer, you won't leave here the same.
No. You'll never regret it either.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Are there any myths or stereotypes about pregnancy centers that you wish you could clear up?
Well, I think for, you know, from the perspective of a supporter, the misconceptions we talked about the patients we see or the women and where they're coming from is one of the biggest. And also, I think, you know, when people think about getting involved with a pregnancy center, they're worried about they think they need to have a personal experience with mm-hmm. abortion in order to be yeah. relevant to our patients or able to be used. And similarly, maybe think they need a counseling degree and all of that. And instead of just realizing that God calls you, he'll also equip you. Yeah. I think from a patient perspective, there's just a lot of lies out there about, you know, they say pregnancy centers put out false information yeah. and all that kind of a thing. And obviously that's not true. Yeah. We are doing everything we can to be just giving truth, both in her emotional and spiritual life, which is what I do, but also medically. Our medical yeah. team works really hard to remain up to date on all of the medical information that we're giving. So
absolutely, absolutely. I think one of the other stereotypes I hear about pregnancy centers is that we're only concerned about the baby. Mm-hmm. And, you know, once again, as we just shared stories of, you know, some of the women that really prick our hearts.
Yes.
You know, we're not just concerned about that baby. We're concerned about her because we ultimately cannot reach that baby before we reach her.
No, and you're not sitting there looking at the baby yeah. to the appointment. You're sitting and looking in the eyes of a woman.
Yes.
And you're going to love her.
Absolutely.
You spend any time with her, you're going to love her.
Absolutely. My heart, once again, as I walk through the hallways, it's mm-hmm. you're right. It's the women I see. And yes. quite often I'm like, what's going on in her life that brought her here? Mm-hmm. What brought her to this point? And you can't think about that without having a heart and a compassion for what she's going through in her personal life. Wow.
Life Matters is the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview, and it is a ministry of Assure Women's Center. We're expanding our ministry to reach women who speak only Spanish, and we need your help right now. If you've ever felt God nudging you to serve with us and you speak Spanish, this is your moment to step in. We're hiring for multiple roles and actively looking for bilingual volunteer advocates. Lives are at stake, and we can't do this without you. Visit firststeptolife.com today to learn more and get involved. That's firststeptolife.com.
Welcome back to Life Matters. If you just joined us, we're talking with Audrey Selander, the patient process manager at Assure Women's Center. She's been sharing stories about the women we serve and giving us an inside look at the process of care and support they receive. Audrey, what's the biggest lesson you've learned through your work with women?
I think the biggest thing that stands out to me is we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. I think that we, again, expect something of the women, and it's not the women, it's, you know, the enemy deceiving them. Mm-hmm. And so that's just become so clear through my time here that every aspect of our lives is spiritual. Mm-hmm. And so every decision we make, whether it's something as big as a life and death decision like this, or just day-to-day decisions, it puts so much in perspective. Mm-hmm. And that it's all way bigger mm-hmm. than it appears to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to go back to a little bit. We talked about women, some misconceptions or stereotypes about pregnancy centers. One of the things you said is that you have to be trained. What about age? Is there a certain age, you know, some people may think, well, I'm just 20 something. You know, I don't have anything to offer.
That was my thing, Tony. Is that why you're bringing this up?
Can you speak to that a little bit, please?
Yes, I was very concerned about that when they started. I had a very blessed childhood, yeah. and everything about it was great. Mm. So I thought there was no way women would want to listen to me. I just graduated high school, and what did I have that they would want to hear? And so I remember asking our, at the time, programs director, Chris, that question, am I too young for this? And she said, no, mm-hmm. God uses everyone.
Yeah.
And he will, she said, if he calls you, he will equip you. And I never had a patient ask my age.
Yeah.
And so we have volunteers who are in their late 80s
yeah.
and are still finding ways to remain active. So whether it's on the younger end or the older yeah. end, mm-hmm. God uses every person that's willing.
Absolutely. And I would say even from my experience with my own daughter volunteering and actually being on staff at Assure, I feel like sometimes that younger staff person, that younger volunteer brings something to our team that perhaps those that are you know, boomers like myself, you know, don't bring. And so I think it's a mix of the generations that we really need. That's why I called you one of my favorite Gen Zs. I love Gen Zs. I love working with you guys because, you know, as I often said, I'm not going to be in this seat forever. At some point, someone has, you know, will step into the seat. And so we need people from all generations to volunteer. And I do think you guys have so much to offer. I mean, when I say you guys, I mean Gen Zs, Gen X, millennials. You guys have so much to offer because you see things from a different perspective than perhaps I might. And so it's all of us working together that's able to create an environment where that young lady will hear life, see life, and choose life. So good. If someone's listening and wondering how they can help, what would you tell them?
Well, from being in patient care every day, honestly, the thing that means the most to me is when people say they're praying, because I can't even say how desperately we need that. And the days that are so hard, it's really comforting when just even another staff member sometimes, because we don't often hear from, I guess maybe I don't often hear from our supporters just because we're in different departments, but hearing that somebody's praying goes a long way. And then obviously volunteering. We can always use more volunteers, more people who are willing to do any number of things to get involved. It's really a worthwhile investment.
Absolutely.
And then I would also say, I mean, if people are wondering what can we do just to support, then notes of encouragement. Sometimes when we get cards from our donors, they really make a difference. Because it's hard to remember the big picture when you're in those hour-long appointments and seeing each nitty-gritty detail. And then people write something and you see, oh, yes, there are people praying. There are people out there who believe in what we're doing. And this is bigger than just this one woman that's got my heart today.
Absolutely. You know, I don't think any of us are here for accolades or, you know, to get the attaboys and the pats on the back. But sometimes it feels good to know that we're seen. In that, I know the work that you're doing is hard. Yep, you're not alone. We're praying for you. It just encourages us and really pushes us to continue to do the work that we do. And if you're listening, you know, once again, prayer is hugely important. And we appreciate your prayers and, you know, just thinking about the staff and the volunteers that are doing the tough work, you know, for trying to reach these young ladies before they abort and so that we can encourage them to choose life. Yeah. How can people be praying for women you see and for your team?
I think for the women, our prayer as a staff, we pray this regularly when they come in the building that they would feel and see the presence of Christ here, that there'd be something different that immediately removes all that external pressure and the horrible things that they're feeling would fall away when they come in. Also, just we pray for a spirit of life to fill their heart and mind, and that their hearts would be open to the truth that they receive in an appointment. I think for our team, strength and endurance to keep fighting for sure. And then also unity, as you know, the enemy comes from every angle he can, and we're blessed, I think, with the team dynamic we have, but we pray for a guard against, you know, any division, and then also just discernment to stay on mission and remain relevant to the women that we're seeing.
After all the stories and experiences, why do you still show up every day?
Well, if it's not clear before now, I would say the Lord is truly the reason why. And that's not just the right answer. Yeah. I think aside from him, there's no reason to stick with the hard, but with him, it's all worth it. And seeing him at work, getting the privilege of serving him and getting to represent him to these women is truly an honor.
Yeah.
And then secondly, you really do love the women.
Yeah, absolutely.
They keep you coming back
too. Absolutely.
They're pretty great.
Audrey, personally, where do you think we are culturally with the issue of abortion?
Well, I do think it has changed somewhat in the sense that it used to seem that patients were very ashamed to even say, so they wouldn't want to use the word abort. They might say terminate, or sometimes avoid it altogether and just say, I just gotta, you know.
Yeah.
And now they definitely are more likely to confidently say that they're going to abort, and they're more likely to say that they're going to tell their friends and family that than they ever were before. But the consistent part is that they don't want that. So there's still shame. I don't want to say there's no shame, but definitely less. They're not expecting that society as a whole is going to look down on them for that decision. Yeah. And when I hear not our patients, just women on media, you know, celebrities or whoever talking about their abortion, it seems like it's this very prideful, celebrated thing. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm seeing in the office every day. And so I think that's kind of what a lot of people see is those women who are like, I aborted and I'm proud of it. Mm-hmm. Our patients, that's not what they're feeling when they go to choose that, you know. I think after it's done, sometimes there's this, well, now if I admit that that's not a decision I wanted to make, I'm just going to live in my own horror and guilt and shame forever. So then they kind of make themselves celebrate that decision out of guilt, I think. But when they're going towards that decision, there's not joy and celebration and pride. It's still shame and fear and hurt.
That's always one of the things I struggle with. How do we, I'm going to say, counter that, you know, show off your abortion? You know, how do we speak to women that's what they hear?
Right.
And, you know, obviously with, you know, censorship and those things, we're not always able to put a pro-life message that's not, you know, so pro-life that it won't get taken away. Mm-hmm. But that's something that's always been on my heart. How do we change culture, you know, so that women don't see that as the only thing that I can do or that it's okay for me to do that? Mm-hmm. Because you're right. When they come into office, they're thinking, wow, this is the decision that I'm making. Mm-hmm. And then certainly after they made that decision, they don't have the same experience as that woman who just bragged about her abortion that they're seeing. And then they're left to deal with, like you said, the guilt and the shame, and they may not be able to say guilt and shame. They feel sad,
right?
Or they
just
feel
a lot of pain.
Yes, a lot of pain. Yeah,
yeah. I remember I had a 14-year-old patient, and she came with her mom, and her mom was 28. So she'd been in her shoes, and I remember that this 14-year-old felt pressured to have an abortion. That seems to happen a lot. I hope I'm not taking you too far off topic here, but I think, you know, when the mom has experienced an unplanned pregnancy at a young age, she does not want her daughter to experience that. And so they kind of try to push them in another direction.
Yeah.
And this 14-year-old did not want to abort, but her mom made it very clear, this is the best thing for you. Turns out the mom herself was also in her third trimester of pregnancy. So I think that played a part. Mm-hmm. But the patient and the mom left. They had gone through the whole process. And when we called to follow up with her in between that and her next appointment, her mom answered the phone. And her mom was very hurting, as she said. She went through with the abortion, and now she's on the suicide watch list, you know. And I just remember thinking how devastating that situation was, because that it wasn't even what the daughter never wanted. That she had never wanted that decision, and now she's living with the pain of it. And I think that's that's what doesn't get talked about. And if I had to guess at the reason why, it's because those women don't want to talk about it.
Absolutely.
They're in such pain that they're not going to get on social media and say, here's the reality of what abortion does to you. And so it is only the women who want to parade it around for celebrity purposes, it seems like, who are talking about it at all.
Yeah.
So the solution, I mean, if women who've experienced the redemption of the Lord, you know, were willing to share their story, we would probably have some tools to use. Mm-hmm. But I understand why they don't. And I understand that it's deeply personal and hurtful. And I see that firsthand. So I it's a hard situation. Mm-hmm.
Maybe we need to look at doing some PSAs of women who've aborted that wish they hadn't, because we don't see that represented in media very often. But quite honestly, that would be probably one that would be censored and wouldn't show up anyway.
Yeah. And for the woman who made the decision to abort and is living in her own regret, to hear that from somebody else, I mean, I don't know what that does to her either. It's just such a hard, hard thing that they're walking through. And, you know, some of the times that you listen to celebrities talk about it, it just makes me wonder, you know, there's at least a couple instances where what they described at the time seemed to be miscarriage, and then they come back later and try to call that an abortion. And I think what you didn't, both are hard, but very different.
Absolutely.
Unbelievably hard, but very different. And so I don't know.
No.
I don't think it gets shown accurately.
I agree. And, you know, once again, it just kind of shows, I'm going to say our listeners, the things that we deal with that, you know, sometimes you don't think about, you know, we're if you're not involved in a day to day, if you're not close to a pro-life ministry, these things would go unnoticed. And I didn't know about them before I started working at Assure. And, you know, there's things that we don't always talk about and things that the girls are experiencing that we don't necessarily experience. I grew up in a two-parent home and the thought of an abortion never crossed my mind, but we also didn't talk about it, you know. And so I think that there's something to be said about talking about life issues, just even on a one-on-one basis. Audra, what do you think makes Assure's culture unique or special?
I would have to say the fact that we're unified in the Lord, so we can connect on a deeper level than just life.
Yeah.
We share the same heart.
Yeah.
Both pro-life, obviously, but then also in our walks with Christ. So we talk about a lot of things in, you know, multiple layers of depth.
Yeah.
So we can connect uniquely, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that. Audra, thank you so much for joining us today, and more importantly, for the compassionate leadership you bring to every woman and volunteer you serve. Thank you for being part of the Assure team. I certainly love it, love working with you, and have loved having you on the show today.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Life Matters. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. To learn more about the ministry of Assure, visit firststeptolife.com. That's firststeptolife.com. There you can learn about the many services we provide, including how we come alongside abortion-minded mothers and empower women to choose life for her and her baby, as well as find our most current broadcasts and all of our past episodes. We're expanding our ministry to reach women who speak only Spanish, and we need your help right now. If you've ever felt God nudging you to serve with us and you speak Spanish, this is your moment to step in. We're hiring for multiple roles and actively looking for bilingual volunteer advocates. Lives are at stake, and we can't do this without you. Visit firststeptolife.com today to learn more and get involved. That's firststeptolife.com.